Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here with you again on
Great
Sunday evening.
Great to be here. And it's the last Sunday of Advent.
Yes.
Hard to believe.
I know. It is. It's hard to believe.
Hard to believe. In a few short days, we'll be celebrating Christmas.
Yes.
The Nativity.
Mm-hmm.
And
a very important moment in human history.
We'll probably wait till next week to do the Christmas show.
Yeah, we probably should.
So hang on to your Santas and your reindeer. We'll bring them out next week.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, we've been talking the last 3 weeks now, I guess, about Advent, and
that would be correct.
It's kind of interesting to see that many churches are actually getting back to having more of an Advent atmosphere and celebrating Advent, and whereas before it was kind of, you know, the Catholic Church did it, the Lutheran Church did it, the Orthodox churches did it, mm-hmm. but now, you know, I'm starting to hear people in non-denominational churches, and I know some of the churches I work in, which are Vineyard and Foursquare churches, are doing Advent things and have mm-hmm. Advent candles. And it's kind of nice because, as we said, it's a preparation time. It's a time to prepare yourself spiritually for the birth of the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
to kind of understand, not that we can understand it, but to fix in your mind exactly what happened at the Nativity.
Right.
And to make yourself prepared for that in a way because of what a great mystery it is and how incomprehensible it is that the second person of the Trinity comes into space and time, born of a woman, born with a physical body, born as a regular human baby.
Right.
And in the book of Colossians, Paul says the fullness of the Godhead dwelled in that little baby.
Yeah.
And this is an amazing, incomprehensible mystery that we'll never be able to understand. But the fact that it happened and the way that it happened to very simple, humble, uneducated, not really very extraordinary citizens, extraordinary people,
mm-hmm.
simple people that were hardworking people and lived in a very simple place.
Right.
And Mary, as probably a teenage young lady, becomes the mother of the God-man, the mother of the Messiah.
Right.
I don't know. I don't care how many years you spend thinking about that. It's pretty incomprehensible.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And the season of Advent is geared, you know, if you look through, we've been doing a lot of readings from the prophet Isaiah, and many of the readings in the churches are from the prophet Isaiah during this time of year, because there's many prophecies about Messiah. There's many prophecies, you know, the virgin will be with child, and mm-hmm. the root of Jesse, which we did last week.
Right.
And, you know, these things are all foretelling 700 years before Jesus is born of some of the things that were going to happen when Messiah actually came into the world as a physical human being.
Yeah. You know, all the things that you just outlined there are really important. And as you said, it's incomprehensible in a lot of ways, because how does a virgin bear a son?
Mm-hmm.
How does a virgin bear a child? You know, if not by God, you know, and Gabriel says that to Mary,
mm-hmm.
you know, how's this possible? Nothing's impossible for God, because
mm-hmm.
he's the creator of the universe. He's, you know, he was before all things,
mm-hmm.
and his word brings forth life. So the season of Advent, as you're, you know, talking about, that there's more and more churches, more and more people in the body of Christ that are recognizing maybe that the importance of Advent.
Yeah.
And it's just not, you know, something that somebody created and wanted to do, but it's actually serves a very good spiritual purpose, and that is to reflect upon not only the first coming of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
but the second coming of yes. Christ as he returns.
Yes.
And so, you know, the season of Advent has a twofold meaning, and you know, last week, the third Sunday of Advent is Gaudete Sunday, which means rejoice. And the readings, you know, mm-hmm. take on that, you know, rejoice, daughter of Zion, you know, because mm-hmm. the Lord's going to take away your sin and your punishment.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so there's so much that is in the season of Advent that if you've never experienced it and you're, you know, if you're wondering what we're talking about, maybe your church doesn't celebrate the season of Advent, you know, look into it.
Yeah.
Investigate it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think you'll find some really deep, rich spiritual history there because it's founded on not just the New Testament, it's founded on the Old Testament.
Yes.
It's founded on, you know, God's Word.
Yeah.
And Jesus, who is the Son of God, becoming flesh.
Yes.
Becoming a child and being born and having to be raised and living as a human being.
Yeah. And, you know, Stephen and I do a lot of ministry along those lines, as if you've listened to the show for any length of time. And if you haven't, you can go back and listen to all the shows on giftofgraceministries.org. But the connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Covenant, the New Covenant, the Tanakh and the New Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Advent, I think, does a really beautiful job of connecting the prophet Isaiah and some of the other prophets.
Right.
With things that are happening in the New Testament leading up to the nativity of Jesus. And it really puts your mind and focus into how these things happen.
Right.
Because as you know, if all your Bible studies start with Matthew 1:1, you miss a lot of stuff that came before.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome to study the New Testament.
Right.
It's awesome, of course, because it's the new covenant, it's salvation, it's the covenant of grace. But if you don't know what came before,
right,
you don't have the fullness and the richness of it,
mm-hmm.
that when you see the Old Testament being fulfilled in the new, when you see Jesus fulfilling all the types and shadows and foreshadowings that are in the Old Testament, it really gives you a much deeper faith.
Yeah.
And a much deeper understanding
yeah.
of what actually happened.
Well, yeah. I mean, you understand, you know, when you delve into the Old Testament and you understand, you study, I should say, salvation history, you understand from the very beginning what happened
mm-hmm.
and why all this is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to coming to the place where it's that time for the Savior to come into the world, and that's a very important point
mm-hmm.
in history.
Mm-hmm.
But understanding the history of, you know, salvation history through the prophets is very important
mm-hmm.
for any believer that they understand the roots of their faith.
Yes.
And where it all comes from.
And when you see some of these writings that are, well, for example, Isaiah 700 and some years before Jesus is born,
mm-hmm.
but he talks about the Gentiles coming, talks about the virgin will be with child, talks about light's going to shine on people in darkness.
Yeah.
I mean, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And everyone knows about Isaiah 52 and 53, which is the suffering Messiah, the suffering servant.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of stuff in Isaiah about the coming of Messiah and a lot about how when Messiah comes, Gentiles are going to seek him.
Mm-hmm.
People who didn't know the God of Israel are suddenly going to come to faith in the Messiah of Israel.
Right.
And the whole Gentile church is going to be born.
Yeah. And even what happens in, you know, with John the Baptist.
Let's talk about him.
Ooh. Even what happens with John the Baptist.
Was he a Baptist? He's always called that.
Well, it's because he was baptizing people in the wilderness.
Oh, I thought maybe he was the first Baptist.
Did you take my New Testament tour? I'm only joking. Well, I mean, with the announcement of John's birth and everything that happens leading up to and including Mary going to visit Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that whole sequence of events is another very important moment in human history.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It is. And so all of this unfolds in this time where the forerunner comes before Christ to prepare the way for him.
Which was also prophesied in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
In Isaiah and in Malachi and probably some other places.
Yeah. You know, when royalty would come to a place, you know, the city or the town would, you know, they would go out and they would fill in the potholes in the road. They would do all these things. They would make the place presentable.
Right.
And that's exactly what John is doing, is fixing yourself up a little bit and coming before the Lord, making yourself presentable. You know, because the bumps or the potholes or the mountains or the hills, if those things are within us, they can all be obstacles to the coming of Messiah. Mm. And that is what's important in the season of Advent.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And boy, we have a lot of obstacles.
A lot of potholes out there.
In this culture, I mean, we have changed Advent into the, quote, Christmas season, unquote.
Oh, yeah.
And by the time it does actually get to be Christmas, everybody's just exhausted.
We're onto something
else. So good, Christmas is over.
Yeah.
And let's take all the stuff down. And when actually that is supposed to be the celebration of the Nativity.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, but very few people realize that 12 Days of Christmas starts on the 25th and ends January 6th. Because that's the traditional Christmas season.
Yeah.
It doesn't start, you know, the day before Halloween and go until December 25th.
It has nothing to do with shopping and sales.
Yeah. But, you know, if years ago, a lot of people used to wait till the night of the 24th to put their Christmas trees up.
Oh, yeah.
And their decorations up. Yep. And I remember some of that when I was growing up. But, well, if you tell people now you're putting your Christmas tree up Christmas Eve, they would all look at you funny, because some people have had it up since Thanksgiving.
Well, you're a real procrastinator, aren't you? You know, yeah, I remember doing that when I was growing up. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But since you mentioned John the Baptist, he's one of my favorite characters.
Are we going to talk about him today?
Let's.
Yeah, let's.
Shall
talk
we?
About him today. We shall. Yeah.
Are you up to reading like 20 verses?
I can.
Yeah. Let's go to Luke chapter 1.
Okay.
So, you know, Luke starts out his gospel by saying he's undertaken to write an orderly account of things.
Right.
So that always strikes me, because Luke's not the kind of guy who just sits there and starts writing. He like goes out and does some research and investigates and interviews people. And then the Holy Spirit inspires him on what to write. Mm-hmm. He's got all this background, because obviously he's talked with Mary. And obviously he's talked with some of these other people, because he's the only evangelist that has these accounts and the nativity accounts. And so he does some research before he writes. But starting in verse 5 of Luke chapter 1 is a great story about John the Baptist's parents and an interesting interaction that his father has with the angel Gabriel.
Yeah.
So why don't we read that first?
Okay. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the priestly division of Abijah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in the eyes of God, observing all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Once, when he was serving as priest in his division's turn before God, according to the practice of the priestly service, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. Then when the whole assembly of the people was praying outside at the hour of the incense offering, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled by what he saw, and fear came upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers toward children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to prepare a people fit for the Lord. Then Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel said to him in reply, "I am Gabriel, who stand before God. I was sent to speak to you and to announce to you this good news. But now you will be speechless and unable to talk until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and were amazed that he stayed so long in the sanctuary. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He was gesturing to them, but remained mute. Then, when his days of ministry were completed, he went home. After this time, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she went into seclusion for 5 months, saying, "So has the Lord done for me at a time when he has seen fit to take away my disgrace before others."
Interesting interaction.
Yeah.
So here we have Zechariah, who's a priest. So he's a Levite.
Yep.
You can only be a priest if you're a Levite.
Right.
And there were 24 orders of priests within the Levitical priesthood. He was of the order of Abijah. Now, that's not really important to know, but since it tells us that he was in that order, I think we should note that, since the Holy Spirit obviously wants us to know it, or mm-hmm. they wouldn't have included it.
Exactly.
But he was in an order of priests, and he only got to do service 1 week out of the year. So 1 week out of the year, which was, of course, would have been the highlight of his year, mm-hmm. he got to go to the temple and do some special service.
Yeah.
At this point, he's going to burn the incense. So they drew lots to see who did it, and he won. So he was going to do it. And he lived outside of the city. In fact, he and Elizabeth lived in an area which is now called Enkarim, which is probably about, I don't know, 15, 20 miles out of the center of the city. It's a very mountainous area. It's the hill country of Judah. And boy, when you go there, you see why it's called the hill country of Judah.
Pretty hilly.
Really hilly. And it also says that Elizabeth was the daughter of Aaron. So they were both Levites.
Yeah.
And, well, this is good. We're already in the first break. We haven't even started.
I know.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Sounding on the mountains, Oh, Zion, rejoice, for the Lord your God has made you his delight. Rejoice, oh, Israel, rejoice. Oh, Zion, rejoice, for the Lord your God has made you his delight. Rejoice, oh, Israel, rejoice. Oh, Zion, rejoice, for the Lord your God has made you his delight. Rejoice, oh, Israel, rejoice. Oh, Zion, rejoice, for the Lord your God has made you his delight. Has made you his delight. Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come. Blow a trumpet in
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We got to catch our breath now. We've been dancing around the studio.
Yeah.
Whew. If you've ever been to a Paul Wilbur praise concert, that's an example of kind of what it's like.
Yeah.
Except there's very people festive. Dancing and running around with banners, which we can't reproduce on the radio.
No. You just don't have the same visual quality
no.
of...
Now, maybe someday we'll have Gift of Grace TV and we'll be able to show it to you. But anyway, so back to John the Baptist. So Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were both Levites. They're both from the tribe of Levi. We find out later that they're related to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Mary was not from the tribe of Levi. She was from the tribe of Judah, as was Joseph, mm-hmm. because... Well, if you read a little bit further down in Luke's gospel, the first chapter, it tells you that Joseph and Mary were both related to David through the line of David. So they're relatives, but that's, you know, not something we really have to worry about. But the interesting thing is Zechariah is an old guy and Elizabeth is an old woman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've heard this before. If you think back to Abraham and Sarah, you know, they were old. They were past childbearing age, which is important to understand because we know that this birth of John the Baptist had a supernatural way of occurring. It was, John the Baptist was their son, but even though they were past the childbearing age, a son was conceived for a very special purpose, and the purpose was special enough that the angel Gabriel comes to tell Zechariah. Mm-hmm. Now, Gabriel's not just some, you know, flunky angel that gets to do little tasks.
Yeah.
He's a really important guy.
The main guy.
Main guy. And it says, you know, I'm Gabriel and I stand in the presence of God. So this is... I mean, this is a serious angel.
Yeah.
And so he's powerful. He's very important. And it's interesting that he tells John that not only are you guys going to have a child, but this boy is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And you, as you mentioned, Mary going to visit Elizabeth, mm-hmm. I think it's neat in that account where we could have done a show on that.
Oh, yeah.
Where,
we
you know,
incorporate it.
Mary goes into the room, says hello to Zechariah. Zechariah can only wave at this point. And, you know, it's interesting that Elizabeth, it says Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and says, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to visit me? And she tells Mary, as soon as you walked in, the baby in my womb leaped for joy.
Yeah.
So John the Baptist in the womb is responding to Jesus being in the room. He's yep. filled with the Spirit.
Yep.
And he's having a charismatic experience before he's even born.
Yeah.
So, which was told to Zechariah by the angel Gabriel.
Exactly.
Which is pretty neat.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to be a Nazarite. And if you've take my Torah class, you'll know that a Nazarite was a holy man who sort of took himself out of regular society. And it says, a Nazarite would never cut his hair or shave. A razor never touches him. And they don't eat anything that comes from a grape. Not only do they not drink wine, but they won't eat a grape or anything that comes from a grape. Mm. So no Welch's grape jelly on the toast.
Wow.
No grape juice.
So no hint of fermentation.
No hint of any fermentation. Mm. And this was the sign that they were the holy guy. John the Baptist was the last Nazarite. There were many, many, many of them, but he was the last Nazarite leading into the New Testament.
Yeah.
Because he spans the Old Testament and New Testament. Mm-hmm. It says he's going to be like Elijah.
Yeah.
He's not going to be Elijah. He's not Elijah reincarnated, but he's going to be like Elijah.
Yeah.
And interestingly, Gabriel even says to him, to the father, that he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, which is how the Old Testament ends. If you get to your book of Malachi, which is the last prophet of the Old Testament, and is, by the way, the last book written that's in the Jewish canon of Scripture. There have been nothing added to the Jewish canon since Malachi, mm-hmm. interestingly, especially since they think Messiah hasn't come yet. There have been no other prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that some other time. We could do a show about that.
We anyway, could.
But interestingly, Gabriel quotes the very end of the Old Testament, the very last couple verses of Malachi, and says, your son's going to be like Elijah, and these are the things he's going to do. In other words, he's going to connect the Old Covenant and New Covenant. He's going to look like Elijah. He's going to be this wild-looking dude, and people are going to think he's weird, but he's going to connect the Old Testament and the New Testament, and he is going to go before Messiah. He is going to go to prepare a way. He's going to be the forerunner of Messiah.
Yeah.
Which is prophesied in other places, but here Gabriel tells Zechariah, and even tells Zechariah what he's going to name him. He's going to name him John.
Right.
Not going to name him Ralph or Henry. He's going to name him John or Yochanan in Hebrew.
Ralph or Henry, that would have been strange.
Yeah. Ralph the Baptist. Just
Henry the Baptist. Yeah, that was you just saw it. That's a good thing that didn't happen. Well, as you're saying that, it is interesting that the book of Malachi is the last prophet in the Hebrew canon, and that was how many years before?
About 400.
Okay, about 400. Yeah, about 400 years before the birth of Messiah. So it's been about 2,400 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been no new writings or no new prophets. But in this encounter that Zechariah has with Gabriel, as you said, Gabriel stands before God, you know, and when Zechariah asks him the question, you know, how's this going to happen? Well, Gabriel must have, obviously said, well, you don't believe me, so you're not going to be able to talk for a little while. That'll learn you.
When Gabriel says something to you, you say, yes, sir.
You better. Whatever you say. Yes, sir, whatever you say. It's interesting. Whenever you find of an encounter with an angel in the Bible and the Scriptures, they always say, do not be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Always. Every single time.
Yeah, every single time. So us humans must be, you know, when we see them, they must be very, you know.
Yeah. Powerful looking.
Powerful looking, yeah.
Not a little chubby thing with wings.
No, they're probably pretty big. So, but as it says, that he's going to be filled with the Spirit even when he's in his mother's womb. As you said, you know, when Mary comes there, at her greeting, John leaps in his mother's womb
mm-hmm.
for joy in the Lord.
Yeah.
And he's filled with the Spirit. And then, and you know, it fulfills that prophecy that he's going to go and prepare the way of the Lord in the Spirit and the power of Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. And there is I can't remember where it is right now, but there's a prophecy about Elijah will come before the Messiah. And so somebody asked Jesus, well, if you're the Messiah, I thought Elijah was supposed to come before you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, he did, but you didn't recognize him. And it says, then they knew he was talking about John the Baptist. But not that he's Elijah reincarnated, but he's an Elijah-like figure. Because mm-hmm. Gabriel says to him, you know, he's going to come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Elijah's a very powerful prophet. And interestingly, it looks like John the Baptist is going to be kind of the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like Elijah. He's a wild-looking guy, dresses like Elijah, has a horrible diet, and talks weird. I mean, he talks weird. He says weird stuff. I mean, if you listen to him and you weren't tuned into him by the Holy Spirit, you'd say, this is a whacked out guy. You know, he looks crazy. He's eating locusts. He's talking about repentance. I mean, he's not quite with it. And, interestingly, he's getting ready for the kingdom to be preached.
Yeah.
Which is the point that I really want to make. And in fact, you know, Mark's gospel starts with John the Baptist preaching. And, you know, there's prophecies from Malachi and from Isaiah and from, Malachi and Isaiah about how there's going to be a forerunner coming before Messiah. But in order to get ready for the kingdom, what he preaches is repentance.
Mm-hmm.
You got to turn from sin. You got to understand that you're a sinner.
Yeah.
You have to come and be baptized. You have to come and be cleansed. And everybody knows that John the Baptist baptized people in the Jordan. And it's pretty neat if you go to Israel now and you go to what tradition says was the baptism site called Yardanit. It's actually a very pretty area with trees and a nice little river coming through, and there's little fish in the river. And
mm-hmm.
you go stand in the river. It's very shallow. And all around you, there's people being immersed in the water because everybody who goes there wants to be baptized.
Wow.
And it's actually pretty neat. You can see like tour groups all being immersed in the water and people from churches all being immersed in the water. And
yeah.
It's pretty neat. And this was the baptism of repentance. You know, it kind of went back to the Jewish mikvah where you were in the water to cleanse you symbolically.
Right.
And John said, you know, you got to come and get cleansed.
Yeah.
And, you know, even you Pharisees, you know, you brood of vipers, you know, you're not here to get cleansed. You're just here to be annoying. And you're going to learn your lesson.
Yeah.
Because the kingdom's coming now.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to come into the kingdom, repentance is what you need.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and this is obviously after John is born, but as you're referring to, you know, Mark, you know, he appears in the desert and proclaims a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that the people of the whole Judean countryside, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan, and they acknowledged their sins. But John says, one mightier than I is coming after me. And I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now keep in mind, we're talking about Jewish people here.
Yep.
You know, to us, we understand when somebody says, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, we know what that means.
Right.
They didn't know what that meant.
No.
You know, they had the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Mm-hmm.
They knew there was one God. They were the only people that had the one true God.
Right.
And now here's this wild-looking guy saying, I'm baptizing you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And there's probably a certain group of people going, wow, this is going to be awesome. Then there's a certain group of people going, what is he talking about? And then there's a certain group of people going, this guy's a kook. Just like in any other group.
Yeah.
But they had no idea the power that was coming.
Yeah. You know, and even Gabriel, when he announced to Zechariah, as we said before, that he'll be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb.
Mm-hmm.
you know, they knew of the Holy Spirit, or they, you know, the Spirit rested upon some of the prophets.
Yes.
But it was for a time.
Yes.
Like in, like we talked about Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Eldad and Medad were outside the camp, but the elders prophesied and then they didn't prophesy anymore.
Mm-hmm. This is at one time.
That was it. So, I don't think they really probably understood the power that was coming because they had seen limited action probably of the Holy Spirit, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, when this is going to take place, it's going to be, there's power.
Yeah. And he's talking about how what he's doing is a symbol of repentance.
Mm-hmm.
But when this other one comes, it's going to be more than just a little symbol. It's going to be fire. It's going to be Holy Spirit baptism. It's going to be forgiveness of sin. It's going to be the kingdom.
Yeah.
And just like we say, John the Baptist was the last of the Nazarites, which had been going on for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
He's really the last prophet as well.
He is, yeah.
Because he prophesies about Messiah. I mean, Messiah's already there.
He points to him, yeah.
Right, he points to him. And he's only about 6 months older than Jesus is.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, he's not a prophet in the sense of the other ones. But he does prophesy about Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And where we talked about Isaiah being 700 years before Jesus. So when Isaiah talks about certain things about Messiah, it's, well, someday that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And all the other guys too. And even Malachi, well, there's going to be a forerunner. Well, the one you seek is going to come to the temple suddenly. Well, that's going to be in 400 years.
Right.
But then John the Baptist is going to look across the river and say, behold the Lamb of God. I mean, he basically points to him and says, of everything that the prophet said was about that man there, and there he is.
Yeah.
All the stuff I've been talking about is about that man there. There he is.
Yeah.
And when he sees him and says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, this is something that an ordinary person just doesn't say.
Right.
He's clearly been prepared for this. He's clearly filled with the Holy Spirit, as Gabriel said he was going to be, to say everything that you guys know about, all the readings that you've been hearing every Shabbat in your synagogue, is now focused on that man who's standing over there on the other side of the river.
Yeah.
And that must have been mind-boggling.
Yeah, it had to be. And then after, you know, after a while, John even says, you know, I must decrease, he must increase, meaning Jesus must increase, you know, because people were looking to John, and John tells them, no, I'm not the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I must, you know, if you think about it, John's ministry was public well before Jesus' ministry. And John acknowledges that he's not the one, so I decrease, the one who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's the one. He increases because the focus needs to be on him.
Yeah, exactly.
So John is a great ambassador. As we've talked about ambassadors before, he's a great ambassador.
He's a wild looking one, but he's a great ambassador. Well,
diet's a little bit funny, but you know. How would you like your grasshoppers, John? I think fried with some olive oil today, please.
Yeah.
A little bit of salt and vinegar on them.
Yeah. No thanks, I already ate.
Extra crispy?
I'll stick with my Christmas cookies.
Oh, come on, be adventurous. Grasshopper cookies.
I'm going to have a talk with him and
yummy. They'll put all the honey on it you want. Can you imagine John's Deli?
Oh, boy.
What was the menu like? We have grasshoppers and grasshoppers.
Different sizes, different kinds. You'd go into a restaurant and say, how are the grasshoppers today? Last time I was here, they weren't very fresh.
fresh catch of grasshoppers. Here you go. Okay. Anyway, back to we're diverting.
So.
Even so. This is a great song.
Break in just in time.
Yes.
Anyway, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
All creation cries for the returning of our King.
Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. Like incense as we magnify the sun, mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so. Together we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, Yeshua, come. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's one of my all-time favorite Paul Wilbur songs.
That was one of John the Baptist. That was his favorite song.
Was it?
Yeah.
Played it all the time. Paul Wilbur music?
Played it all the time. Oh, yeah. Oh. Just joking. Got to add that disclaimer.
Yeah. Go to WilburMinistries.com and buy some stuff.
Yeah, by Lion of Judah. It's on there.
Oh, yeah, by Lion of Judah.
Is it Lion of Judah? Yeah, Lion of Judah.
Yeah. So anyway.
So before this grasshopper diet, what were we talking about?
Yeah, we were talking about grind. We got a little carried away with the grasshoppers, like I always do, because I just can't even deal with it.
What about a grasshopper sandwich? What would that be like?
It doesn't say even had the bread. It was just the grasshoppers.
Oh, man.
It's kind of like the Atkins diet. But anyway. So he's really the last prophet. You know, he's really the connection between Old Testament, New Testament. Mm-hmm. And it says that shortly after this, he was conceived in the womb of Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. So if you look at it as, you know, I heard a guy once, and I don't know if this is even possible, I heard a guy once who claims he did a very thorough study about this with the order of Abijah and all these things, and actually found out that the week that Zechariah would have been in the temple lighting the incense was like the 23rd or 24th or 25th of June in our calendar. Mm-hmm. And so this guy theorized that if Elizabeth would have gotten pregnant like the very end of June, and then John the Baptist would have been born, like in March mm-hmm. of the following year, and he was 6 months older, 6 months older than Jesus, then Jesus would have been born in September or October.
Mm-hmm.
So all that made kind of sense if the guy really found the records, but I can't imagine you would find records like that. But anyway.
Yeah. Well,
it's an interesting thought anyway. So when John is actually born, maybe we should talk about that a little bit. That's kind of cool too, because, you know, it's actually in Luke chapter one has a lot of amazing stuff in it.
Bunch of stuff. Yeah.
And we didn't even talk about the Annunciation.
No, not even yet.
Oh,
we can do that next week.
But it's Christmas.
Okay.
That's okay.
Start off with it.
Yeah. Actually, that'll be all right too. So interestingly, you know, so this baby's born and it's a boy. And, you know, as Gabriel already knew that. And as you know, on the eighth day, a baby boy is circumcised and named.
Right.
So, you know, here they were and everybody thought they were going to name him Zachariah because after all, maybe we'll name him after, isn't he going to be named after his father?
Right.
And
right.
Elizabeth said, well, actually, no, he's going to be named John. And they were like, John,
what?
Nobody in your family's named John. You know, like, what's with that? Why do you want to name him Yochanan when you can name him Zachariah? And you don't have any relatives named John. And so Zachariah takes a tablet. It says in Luke 1:63, he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows. His name is John. They were all astonished.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he began to speak.
Yeah.
So finally, after 9 months and some days, or 9.5 months, or whatever it was, he gets to talk again, because now, you know, he doubted what God was going to do. He said, how can I be certain of this? How is this going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
So then he's dumb. So now it's happened. And Gabriel said his name's going to be John.
Mm-hmm.
So now he doesn't say, well, maybe we should name him Zachariah. Yeah. That's kind of no. He goes, his name is John. So he's going back to like, now I believe what Gabriel said. So now he gets his speech back, which is pretty neat.
Yeah.
And do you want to read what he says then?
Yeah, this is awesome.
This is pretty cool. Because then Zachariah's filled with the Holy Spirit.
And he says,
go ahead.
This is in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 68. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. For he has visited and brought redemption to his people. He has raised up a horn for our salvation. I'm sorry. He has raised up a horn for our salvation within the house of David, his servant.
Woo.
Even as he promised through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. To show mercy to our fathers and to be mindful of his holy covenant. And of the oath he swore to Abraham, our father. And to grant us that rescued from the hands of our enemies, without fear we might worship him in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the daybreak from on high will visit us, to shine on those who sit in darkness and in death's shadow, and to guide our feet into the way path of peace.
I love this. Interestingly, at the beginning of that, which this can be called the Song of Zechariah, he says he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David. Now, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We know in 2 Samuel, God says through the prophet Nathan to David that God is going to build David a house,
mm-hmm.
and from his loins are going to come the ruler of Israel, who's going to sit on the throne of David forever. His house is never going to end. Now, Zechariah is of the tribe of Levi, or else he couldn't be a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And it says Elizabeth is a daughter of Aaron, so she's a Levite as well.
Right.
And here, Zechariah says that he's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David. So he's talking about Jesus in this sentence,
yep.
Not John, because John is not from the house of David. Yeshua, Jesus, is. So
from the stump of Jesse.
From the stump of Jesse. We talked about that last week, I think, or I can't remember. But anyway, so interestingly, this information, number one is comes out of Zechariah by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And number two is he's already had an interaction with Mary. Mm-hmm. They've had some conversations about this because she stayed there for, what was it, 3 months or
something?
3 months, yeah. Yeah, she stayed there. So they had time to talk to Mary about, well, Gabriel came to me too, and here's what he said. And but
lots of you're still talking.
Yeah, and yeah, that's a good point because she asked how this could be too.
Yeah.
But this is really fascinating because it's the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says this beautiful song.
Yeah.
About how this little baby, now remember, they're looking at an 8-day-old baby, is going to prepare the way of the Lord, and he's going to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sin. You know, salvation's going to come by the forgiveness of their sin. It's not going to come by Messiah being a powerful king, military leader, establishing the kingdom of Solomon, having a strong force, and having all the surrounding Gentiles say, wow, they got a really strong king over there.
Yeah.
The kingdom's coming. Messiah's coming to forgive their sins.
Mm-hmm.
And this is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Because God, in the form of the God-man, is coming to forgive sin.
Yeah.
This was a concept that they didn't really understand at the time.
Yeah, it wasn't about having a powerful army and, taking over people and stuff like that. It was about redemption and the restoration of God's creation.
Yeah.
Which was, at that time it had to be somewhat foreign to them because they were looking for a leader.
Yeah.
You know, they were looking
very
for
exciting.
A military leader.
This is very exciting. Ah, the end of the show.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we, wish you a Merry Christmas. And we would just pray that in this last week of Advent, that you would make that final preparation to make every path level and straight and prepare a way for the coming of Messiah to be reborn in your heart that he may reign with you and you with him in God's kingdom. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.